Hey guys, we're going to get to your NXT review with Zach Smith in just a minute with thoughts on Lee responding to Cross, Balor and Thatcher versus Loomis, Martinez versus Blackheart, and Imperium returning to action, as well as Johnny Gargano versus Roderick Strong. All of that plus a bunch more from Zach Smith is going to get going right after this. Hey guys, so with the election this year and everything else going on in the world, politics is certainly at the forefront of our news cycle and likely a topic of conversation with family and friends. Why not make it fun and play tic-tac-toe, the presidential edition? So what exactly is this? Well, right now it's on Kickstarter, and the way that you can support this campaign is going to Kickstarter and searching for Bauer, B-A-U-E-R, that's B-A-U-E-R. Again, it's a tic-tac-toe game with a political twist, and the game board has some very familiar political faces, so why not make this a topic of conversation? You have a family dinner, a family reunion, or start a topic of political conversation? Then check this out, guys. It's the Tic-Tac-Toe Presidential Edition. So head on over to Kickstarter.com and search for Bauer, that's B-A-U-E-R, and go support this project today.
To the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, it's time, guys. Welcome back to the NXT Podcast. As always, I am your host. My name is Zachary Smith. I am happy to be with you again this week to talk about NXT. We set the bar pretty high last week with a great show. This was a pretty good show. Certainly not as good as last week, but we will take it nonetheless. We have a lot of interesting things going on in NXT in terms of setup. We have TakeOver 30 looming on the horizon. We're certainly setting up for that. We already have a clearer picture of what we're going to see at TakeOver 30. Always good when everything's leading up to that TakeOver. NXT is great at setting up TakeOvers. As we know, this one is no exception. We have a lot of setup in this NXT. It's more or less a qualifying version of NXT. We have some setup for the NXT North American title ladder match that's going to be happening at TakeOver. We also have some stuff with Keith Lee, who is now just your NXT champion, having given up that North American title. And some stuff with Karrion Kross, appearing to be the one that's going to go up against Keith Lee. Although we had a little bit of kickback on that, so I'm not sure what we're doing with that, but we'll talk about it when we get to it. Now, as you know, generally we cover the news and the notes going on in WWE or in wrestling in general, and there's not a ton of individual news going on at the moment, but I feel like we need to talk about the elephant in the room here as it pertains to WWE, and that is ratings and viewership. I know I touched on that last week with NXT and AEW specifically, but the elephant in the room part of this is that the main roster has been having some issues, and they've been having issues specifically with viewership for their shows. Now, seems like every week Raw is kind of going downhill. It feels like every week Raw has set a record for a low viewership. It seems like every week we're getting, this is the lowest rated Raw in history, or this is the lowest rated third hour in history. Now, I was thinking about why that is. Why WWE, who is still the biggest wrestling company in the world, would be having this problem. And I think it comes down to a combination of a lot of things, unfortunately. I think that, frankly, wrestling isn't cool like it used to be. In the Attitude Era, we had Stone Cold and The Rock, and we had a product that was for a mature audience, and every week it was a car crash, and there was always something crazy happening, and we had maybe the most viewership that we've ever had in terms of a television product. We had Hulk Hogan and Hulkamania in the 80s and setting up the WrestleMania era and the Rock and Wrestling era, where wrestling was still very popular, not only in WWE, but in all of the territories. And in the Attitude Era, we had WCW rolling along. And so we always had some competition, or we were ramping up to something, but wrestling always felt cool. And now in WWE, it does not feel like wrestling is cool to your average viewer. There was a time, 98, 99, where being a wrestling fan was kind of a cool thing. It was something that you could talk to strangers about, because at the very least they would know Stone Cold and they would see him drinking beer or stunning Vince McMahon, something to that effect. But now it feels like when you mention that you are a wrestling fan, you get people who laugh or who don't take it seriously as a television product at all. Now, some of this can probably be attributed to COVID-19. Now, I would say that we've gone from a system where a lot of people, or most people, had cable, and so they were watching WCW and WWE, and they were watching it on their televisions. And some people say that because people are cutting the cord and don't have cable, that accounts for a lot of declining viewership in that area, not because of WWE so much as it is because of cable itself. I don't buy that one because, although there probably are less cable viewers overall for a lot of individual shows, that's not counting sporting events and things like that, while we do have less people with cable, we have more ways to watch things than ever. You have the WWE Network. You have different apps that can play it live, or on Hulu you can watch it the next day. There are still ways to watch it. There are more ways to watch a show that you like than there have ever been in the history of everything ever. So if this were the Attitude Era, you may not see the high cable numbers that you got in the Attitude Era, but you would see overall that the product is getting a lot of viewers, be that through social media, be that through cable, or be that through the WWE Network. But you are not seeing that. You're seeing the opposite. I think it also comes down to the fact that there's a lot of ridiculous things happening in wrestling at the moment. Last time we watched a pay-per-view, we saw that there was a match where the only way to win was to pull out somebody's eyeball. And then it was just a prop that didn't look very good. And it was something that should have just been an excellent wrestling match that was turned into a spectacle because, well, Vince thinks that that's really funny or interesting. And it was reported that he had a hand in that match, and that kind of explains everything you need to know about why that match was the way it was and why the premise was what it was. I think that wrestling is ridiculous at the moment, and at its best, wrestling is ridiculous, but almost in a good way, in a funny way. Wrestling in WWE at the moment is ridiculous in a what are they doing, I can't believe this sort of way. I don't think it helps that Raw is 3 hours. It's been 3 hours for some time now, but that is a lot of time to invest in something. An Avengers movie can be 3 hours if it's been set up with all the other movies that it has, and you have people that are going to love that experience. But if every Marvel movie were 3 hours, I don't think that that would help them in terms of people wanting to watch their movies. And frankly, they have the talent to fill 3 hours, but they don't use them in such a way that they could. You have guys like Ricochet and Cedric Alexander who are relegated to main event, and you could absolutely find space for them on a Monday Night Raw. But I think another and maybe one of the biggest problems is that although WWE says that they want new stars and says that they want a refreshing product, they don't, actually. They take people like, let's take Ricochet for an example. Ricochet is on NXT. He's fantastic on NXT. He's brought up to the main roster. He has an interesting start, but then he has a little mini issue with Brock Lesnar, and he cuts a promo on Raw that I will say was not very good. Ricochet is known for his in-ring ability. He is not known for his ability to cut a promo. And that's fine, except in WWE. He cut the promo. WWE, Vince specifically, probably felt that he didn't deliver, and rather than saying this is something we could work on, or we can get him a manager, or he could just not talk, took that to be, oh, well, he's not ready. They had him lose very quickly and very convincingly to Brock Lesnar, and then he's basically been MIA since the Royal Rumble, where he low-blowed Brock Lesnar in retaliation and Drew eliminated Brock. You have people like Ricochet who are ready to make that next step, but WWE convinces themselves that they're not ready for one reason or another. And I don't think it's that the individual people are not ready. I think it's that the system is not set up to make new stars. You have people like The Fiend who were rolling with the Universal title, and then for no reason whatsoever, you put him in a match with Goldberg, and then certainly for no reason at all, you have Goldberg win. So all that that does is it puts the title on Goldberg. I don't think that enough people came back just because Goldberg was Universal Champion again. It certainly wasn't the first time he had done it. He had just done it at Fastlane to Kevin Owens not very long ago. You have a stale champion who's not very good, who's much worse than The Fiend would have been as champion. And what that does is it doesn't elevate Goldberg. His status is already cemented, despite his skill or lack thereof in the ring. And you have somebody like The Fiend who is demoted in their eyes, because although The Fiend was rolling, he still can't beat Goldberg. And you know that anytime somebody is returning, they're going to be put in a high-profile situation, and they're usually going to come out on top, be that The Rock, be that John Cena, although he did the quote-unquote right thing and lost to The Fiend at WrestleMania, be that Goldberg, be that Brock Lesnar. WWE always falls back to, well, we are stale, and what we need is this star who was a big star gone on years past. I don't think you need that. I think that there is always a place for somebody returning. If The Rock wants to come back for a SmackDown or a Raw, absolutely The Rock can come back. If he wants to do a match, absolutely do a match. But I think things like that are best suited for something like The Rock versus John Cena. That's somebody that's already on top going against a legend, and the legend wins. But when you have legends going up against current roster members, and the current roster members lose, the only thing it does is it serves to prove that in people's heads that the new people aren't as good as the old people, so you're not going to come back next week to watch the new people when the old people go back home. And finally, I think the biggest problem is just Vince McMahon. I think that Vince McMahon is a genius in this one very specific area of wrestling. I think he's a savant. I think he's a savant like, say, Eminem is a savant. Eminem is insanely gifted as a rapper. He is one of the best lyrical rappers that have ever existed. He's very, very good at that. And by his own admission, he's not very, very good at much else, because it takes so much to be very, very, very good at something. Vince was very, very good at this, but I haven't seen a lot of evidence that Vince is really, really good at it anymore. Anytime that he is involved directly in something, it turns into an eye for an eye match where Seth Rollins is puking and the camera just makes absolutely sure that they get that shot, because that's vital. You have an Aleister Black who's very, very, very good. He was undefeated on Raw. He loses, or rather, he was undefeated altogether. He loses on Raw, and then it's reported that they're going to keep him off TV for a bit and kind of repackage him because they don't necessarily feel like that gimmick is going to work long term. I don't even know what that means. I think that that's just a company, and Vince specifically, convincing himself that he's always known best, and so he still does. And the problem is, he doesn't. He just thinks he does. And the way he has set up his system is in such a way that whatever he says goes. And for a long, long time, that has worked. Since 85 and the first WrestleMania, that has worked. It doesn't work anymore. You have a staff of 100 million writers writing for people and really just writing for Vince himself. and Vince's sophomore humor mixed with thinking that an eye for an eye match is going to reel wrestling fans in just sets up a system where nobody's getting over, no great stories are being told, and there's no heat for anything because everything is ridiculous. And so until you have the new stars that are all doing very well and making people want to watch, and frankly, Vince is out of there in terms of being the only decision maker, which is long overdue, I think you're going to keep seeing this happen, because until everybody has a reason to watch, everyone will not watch. And WWE has demonstrated in the last little while that they don't know what the fans want anymore. They've always prided themselves on that. We put smiles on people's faces, and we know what the fans want, but they don't. They just think they do. And the problem is, despite all evidence to the contrary, they still think they do. And until they realize they don't have all the answers, they're going to keep writing the wrong answers on the Scantron. And when you write wrong answers on the Scantron, you fail the test. But more importantly, I'm about to ace this test of talking about NXT this week. Do you see what I did right there? That is how you do a transition, and I did it, and it was great. I know you don't need to tell me. We're starting off with a Keith Lee video. It's just shots of Keith Lee and him winning the title, and laid over it is the clock that was in Karrion Kross's vignettes, and it's a recap of last week between Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic in their match. It's shots of Karrion Kross again. And then we switch to shots of Karrion Kross injuring and beating down Dijakovic with Keith Lee at ringside. This feud feels fast to me. It's clearly being set up as if Kross is going to be the next challenger for the NXT title. But I think one of the problems is that Karrion Kross feels like he should already be on the main roster. He does not feel like an NXT wrestler. And so this just kind of feels rushed. It feels like they were going to do it with Adam Cole and then Keith Lee won. And now they're just circling back around to Karrion Kross with Keith Lee. And it feels like Karrion Kross doesn't need to be NXT champion. Karrion Kross needs to be on the main roster. Because at least for me, Karrion Kross hasn't been working on NXT. And it might just be that that is a main roster gimmick that is on NXT. But we're starting out real well with Io Shirai coming out. And I thought it was weird that she was coming out first, but then Dakota Kai attacks her during her entrance, so that made sense. And then Tegan Nox comes out and starts attacking Dakota Kai to help Io. And then finally Candice LeRae comes out and she starts attacking Io, because we have all four in the ring because it's Tegan Nox and Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae and Dakota Kai. The attack and everything coming out felt super rushed and not super intense. It didn't feel like four people that really wanted to beat each other up. It felt like we need to hurry up and get this part of the angle done. It just felt off. These are four really great wrestlers, and Io is clearly the best, just firing on all cylinders at the moment, and really feels like she is and she should be the champion, which is great. That's how you want to present your champion, especially in situations like this where it's a tag match and it's not a title match itself. You still want to remind people that there's a reason that she's champion. And we get a graphic that tonight it's also going to be Dexter Lumis, Timothy Thatcher, and Finn Balor. That's a triple threat match, kids, and the winner goes on to the North American title ladder match. So far, it's only been Bronson Reed that has qualified, so we're going to get one of those three joining Bronson Reed for that. That's going to be interesting to watch later on. At this point, later in the match, Candice LeRae and Tegan Nox have been knocked out on the ringside for quite some time now, and it's really starting to feel like they definitely don't need to be here for this. This whole thing kind of feels thrown together. It doesn't feel like it has any heat, but it's fun watching Io Shirai in any match, so there's that, I guess. Tegan Nox hits the Shiniest Wizard, just a big old kick to the face, which actually, a big old kick to the face, I think, would have been a better name for the finisher, because that really gets across what it is right away. She hits the big old kick to the face to Candice LeRae, and then Io Shirai hits the moonsault, pins Candice LeRae, and wins. Candice definitely got the least in this match, and very much feels like she was just there to lose, which sucks for her. She didn't get much in the match at all, and clearly it was just the heel team had to lose, and they didn't want to pin Dakota Kai. Speaking of, Dakota Kai is smiling there on the entrance ramp. She's clearly ready for what she thinks is going to be her title match upcoming with Io.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
Hey guys, so with the election this year and everything else going on in the world, politics is certainly at the forefront of our news cycle and likely a topic of conversation with family and friends. Why not make it fun and play tic-tac-toe, the presidential edition? So what exactly is this? Well, right now it's on Kickstarter. And the way that you can support this campaign is going to Kickstarter and searching for Bauer, B-A-U-E-R. That's B-A-U-E-R. Again, it's a tic-tac-toe game with a political twist. And the game board has some very familiar political faces. So why not make this a topic of conversation? You have a family dinner, a family reunion, or start a topic of political conversation? Then check this out, guys. It's the Tic-Tac-Toe Presidential Edition. So head on over to Kickstarter.com and search for Bauer. That's B-A-U-E-R. And go support this project today.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
We cut to Tom Phillips. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Tom Phillips at the announce booth alone again. He's setting up the Adam Cole and Pat McAfee thing. Adam Cole was a guest on Pat McAfee's show, his show and his podcast. And McAfee basically says that Undisputed Era is the main reason that he's succeeded, especially since he's small. And Adam Cole pushes the mic away, gets in Pat's face. He starts cursing at Pat, and one of his friends comes over to try and defuse the situation. Adam Cole pushes him, keeps swearing. This is clearly a work. It's not even a very convincing work, but Pat McAfee is great, and it's going to be fun. There's a history between Pat McAfee and Adam Cole. They did a little bit in NXT, and when Pat McAfee was first kind of coming into the company. And so Pat McAfee's always great. I wanted him to come back to commentary after he was so pivotal in Survivor Series and those SmackDowns setting it up. So I want way more Pat McAfee on my screen. So I will take this weird, serious but not serious angle that they're doing to get Pat McAfee back. I think that that's a fair trade. We cut from that to a recap of Bronson Reed winning to get a spot in that ladder match that we mentioned. And then it's recapping Johnny Gargano and Roderick Strong arguing on Twitter, which is always just a great way to set up a personal issue. And so it's Johnny out first for the Twitter match. Roderick Strong is out next. He's all by himself. I mention that because it always seems weird to me when one member of a faction comes out to that faction's theme music, but none of the other members of that faction come out with them. Usually, you'll at least have, like, Bobby Fish come out with him, and then Bobby Fish doesn't walk past the entrance ramp. He just kind of backs up, and Roderick Strong comes in, because at least then it feels like the faction kind of has that one person's back. When you send them out by themselves, it just feels weird, and it feels like you're trying to tell me something. Johnny lets Roderick Strong do his whole entrance and do the part where Roderick gets on hands and knees and then pops up for the boom in the entrance theme. It feels weird that Johnny, who is a heel, who is a bad guy, would just stand there and let Roderick Strong go through his whole entrance if they've been arguing and don't like each other. Just feels like you would just attack him. If a dude I didn't like was making an elaborate entrance, I think I would just attack him. You forget, because he's in Undisputed Era, and he's really, one of his main functions is to be the person who gets pinned when they lose. But Roderick Strong is a really, really good wrestler, and it's very, very rare that he has anything less than a really, really good match. And Roderick Strong is the first guy that I remember, anyway, in a long time, that I've seen always go after the same part of the body in all his matches. He always goes after his opponent's backs. Usually you'll see people going after, just hitting moves, not going after a body part. And then in some matches, they'll decide to work on a body part, and that almost always results in a good match. But Roderick Strong always goes after his opponent's back. I don't really remember that happening a lot, except Ric Flair would do it to set up the figure four a bit. But it makes sense in kayfabe, or in this kind of world, that it would be a good strategy to take out somebody's back so it works. And it's rare in WWE to have a match between two bad guys like we have here. It's also rare to see two good guys. It's always a good guy and a bad guy. And it works really well when you have two really good wrestlers like these two. Because then they're both heels, and then they have a really good match. Makes sense. We have a really good match. It seemed as though it's going to be the match of the night. Johnny hits the apron inside DDT and then pins Roderick Strong, again, in the match of the night thus far. I like it when a triple threat match leads to a feud between the two people that lost, because it's a pre-made, really good setup for two men or two women to dislike each other. They can argue about whose fault it was, and they're both mad because they lost. And then it boils over. I like that. I'd like to see that more. We cut from that to backstage and an interview with Dakota Kai. She says she doesn't care about Candace. She's not a team player anymore. She says, I'm done jumping through hoops to be the number one contender. I want Io Shirai. She says, I'm in Io's head right now. Hey, this is Zach. This is the host. This is just a note. She is absolutely not in Io Shirai's head. She attacked Io once and then was in a tag match where her team lost. That's not how you get in somebody's head. Okay, we're back. She says she wants Io Shirai, and at that, Rhea Ripley, with a new blonde hair color that was striking, comes up and says Io is hers, and she doesn't mind going through anyone who says otherwise. And Dakota walks off to go talk to William Regal, presumably on like a Zoom call. There's a Thatcher interview. He says that two men are going to get schooled, and the school of Thatch is Thatch Can Wrestling. As Thatcher is talking, we see that Dexter Lumis is in the background, kind of in the dark, just staring at him. He's so creepy, and it's so great. Undisputed Era is backstage talking. They're trying to figure out what's going on with their recent losses. Adam Cole lost the NXT title. Roderick Strong just lost. And then Kyle O'Reilly's finally back, with a super weird hairstyle. He wanted a faux hawk, but he doesn't have enough hair to do a faux hawk. But then he said, no, I'm a grown man. If I want a faux hawk, I'm going to do it. And then went and bought some gel and then did a faux hawk. And then I guess just showed up with a hoodie on and nobody noticed until he was already out there and it was too late. I don't know. That it's not, I'm not going to lie to you, it's not great. I'm not going to lie about that, because I wouldn't lie to you. And you need to know it's not great, and I need to know, and together we just need to accept that. And that, you know what? It's fine. It's going to be fine, probably. He gives them a quick pep talk, and they walk off. Keith Lee is out next. He's now only the NXT champion. That still feels weird to me, but I get it, I guess. It's good that the North American title has qualifying matches and it's going to have a really great ladder match and somebody else is going to be able to get made in the long term. I like that Keith Lee is not holding both titles. It just feels weird that Keith Lee just won both and then immediately gave up one. But whatever, that's fine. In the long run, it's going to be good. It's just weird right now. Keith Lee's talking about Dominik Dijakovic. He basically says that he's a grown man who's going to be just fine. And it occurred to me that during this promo, he's calling him Dijak, which was his name before WWE. It was Dominik Dijak? It was Dijak. And then they added Kovic, so it was Dijakovic. And he's calling him Dijak during this promo, which, again, that's his name before WWE, and it's a much better name. Dijak, or Dijakovic, that's hard to do both back-to-back, but I'm nailing it because I'm great at this. So it's weird because Dijakovic is going to the main roster, so I don't know if that was Keith Lee just using his old name or if they're going to change it to Dijak before he debuts on Raw or SmackDown. that it would be good to just have him be Dijak, because again, that's a better name. Keith Lee calls out Karrion Kross. He says, "You've made it clear you want my attention, and you've done so much extra BS," except he says the whole thing. We don't swear here on this network, but he says the whole thing. It's bleeped out, but he said it. He lays down the title. He says, "All your extra BS," he said it again, "means nothing when you don't come to me face to face." He says, "Karrion Kross, I'm calling you out." And then what happens is that Cameron Grimes' music hits, and I wish it hadn't. And he's cutting a promo, and I took my headphones out, and I wasn't listening, because I know what that promo is without listening to it, and this is not needed, and I want it to stop. I wasn't mad at him as a heel, I was bored, and I knew that it was just set up for Keith Lee to attack him, but still, it was just, it went on, and I didn't need to hear it to hear it. You see what I'm saying? Grimes says that he wants the NXT title. He's walking up, he's on the apron, and Keith Lee is still facing the camera, clearly pissed off, not reacting. Cameron Grimes is yelling his name. Keith Lee runs over, grabs Grimes by the throat, and throws him into the ring, hits him in the corner, and then the lights go out. And Scarlett is out with like a red dress. She has a spotlight on her, and she's just standing there. Grimes tries to run up on Keith Lee, but Keith Lee hits the spirit bomb, and Grimes sells it really well and just stares Scarlett down. Scarlett's doing this weird, like, interpretive dance move with her arms up. It's like somebody who's trying to be artistic, but is just doing the weird moves just because you can. And then Karrion Kross is cutting a promo, but it's on the Titantron. It's just a video. It's so weird that he's not out here. He says we could do this the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is you give me a shot at the NXT Championship, or the hard way, you don't even want to know what that is because I will hurt everybody. He says, tick, tock, blah, 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 blah. The video's like right up on his face too. Like you can only see his nose and his eyes, which is just it's a super interesting choice to do that. Didn't need to see his forehead and his eyes that close. So maybe we could like back it up a bit. You know what? I'm not a video guy, but that's just my two cents. Take it, or you can just leave it in the tip jar. It's completely up to you. Keith Lee says, "Pick the time and the place, and I will whip that." He said the A-word, guys. He said the whole thing again. Keith Lee is out of control, and I don't feel super safe. And so, yeah, he's just out here cursing up a storm. And so I feel like this isn't great, because I feel like we're in a rut with Karrion Kross. I've now seen this version of a call-out 3 or 4 times. It's about the same every time. Scarlett comes out. She doesn't talk. She makes some kind of gesture, and then Karrion Kross's music plays, or his logo comes up, or he does a promo with a video. I've seen this over and over and over. And every time Karrion Kross talks, I feel like he is a guy that is trying to sound like a monster rather than a monster. He sounds like a guy who doesn't fight, who's trying to talk his way out of a fight, saying there will be consequences and TikTok, and it's not scary or intimidating. I feel like he is just saying words, and it's not an actual monster. It's a guy who's trying to. And the fact that he's too scared to like at least come out to the entrance ramp to cut that promo face-to-face or just in person really takes away from the whole package of the hard way is that I will hurt everybody, but you're also just going to just have this video and you're going to send your wife or girlfriend, certainly manager, out there for you. That's weird for somebody who's a monster who's just supposed to be on the warpath. But whatever. What do I know, you know? We get a video of Finn getting ready for his match. He grabs his jacket to head out, and then we see Dexter Lumis is standing in the background again, staring him down, because Dexter Lumis is a serial killer. Sometimes you could tell somebody's a serial killer without seeing the bodies. And that is a serial killer. So when that comes out, don't say I didn't tell you, because I did. Cut to a video of William Regal. Regal says that he will not be bullied into making championship matches. Karrion Kross, they have always been and always will be earned here in NXT. Next week, it's announced that it's going to be Rhea Ripley versus Dakota Kai, and the winner will be the number one contender to face Io Shirai. This is interesting. Dakota Kai could win this match. Dakota Kai is definitely 100% not winning the NXT title. Or you could have Rhea Ripley win. If Rhea Ripley wins, it feels like Rhea Ripley would take that title back, but it feels too soon to have either Io or Ripley lose. So, feels like maybe we're going to get Dakota Kai there, because if it's Rhea Ripley, well then, what do you do? Rhea probably shouldn't lose, and Io probably shouldn't lose. And then after that William Regal thing, it's announced that next week, Imperium will defend their tag team titles against Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly of the Undisputed Era next week. Now, rewind the tape here, like just a minute ago, Regal said that title matches are earned, and I'm struggling very hard to think of what the Undisputed Era has done to earn a championship match. They were just in the back trying to figure out what was going on and what they were doing wrong with all these losses, and then right after that, they are put into a title match. They have had title matches. They lost to Imperium. They haven't been able to get the titles back. Adam Cole has lost. Roderick Strong has lost. Kyle O'Reilly hasn't been around, and then Kyle O'Reilly comes back, and then for discernibly no reason, the Undisputed Era is just getting their title match. Because it's not great to say that championship matches are earned and then just hand out a championship match, is it? Feels weird, doesn't it? Feels bad, huh? So here we are, and that's what's going to happen. That's okay, fine, that's cool. Dexter Lumis is out first for this triple threat match that is your main event. Timothy Thatcher's out next, followed by Finn Balor. This is interesting because you could make a case for any of these three winning to go on to this ladder match. Finn Balor has been on a bit of a tear as a heel since coming back to NXT. Timothy Thatcher is debuting his new gimmick not but a couple weeks ago and back in the ring for the first time in a little bit. And Dexter Lumis is just a psycho serial killer. And I think Dexter Lumis would be the best fit for that ladder match. I'm biased because Dexter Lumis is some nights my favorite gimmick in NXT, but I think he would add the most different to a ladder match because he doesn't fit. Thatcher doesn't fit because he's a submission guy. Finn Balor definitely fits, but I feel like Dexter Lumis is the most different guy in NXT, certainly, but he's the most different guy when you're in a ladder match, and you already have Bronson Reed in there, who you wouldn't think of being in a ladder match. You're certainly going to have some people in there that are going to be high flyers. I think Dexter Lumis would add the most character-wise to it without having to do too much to kill himself. I just feel like that would be the best choice. But again, I'm biased. Thatcher and Finn Balor start fighting while Lumis just stands in the corner staring at both of them because he's a murderer. Timothy Thatcher and Finn Balor are outside. And Dexter Lumis, I want you to pay attention. Dexter Lumis jumps out of the ring. He uses the top rope to front flip out of the ring onto the floor. I'm going to say it again. Lumis jumps out of the ring, uses the top rope to front flip out of the ring onto the floor between them. Now, there's a weird camera cut before Dexter Lumis hits the floor here. And I saw on Twitter that some people were saying, number one, why are you redoing the Ricochet spot with the Velveteen Dream, where Ricochet got a running start, jumped out of the ring, front flipped, and then landed basically right in front of Velveteen Dream. And then other people were saying, why were there so many camera cuts? And some people theorized and are experts and decided that what happened is they cut away because Dexter Lumis did not stick the landing. Now, that's okay. So first, it's weird to see something that cool and immediately go to, well, why are you redoing the spot and clearly they cut because he didn't stick the landing. As far as I'm concerned, if I did that, I would, first off, I would barely, if at all, clear the top rope if I'm being generous. And then if I managed to somehow do a front flip, I would fall on my face, knock all of my teeth out, and you got me messed up if you think I'm finishing the match after that. Dex Loomis appears to land, uses his hands to land as well, and then stands up. I don't know if he was supposed to just hit a gymnastic dismount and just land it perfect. I don't know why people think that, like, because you didn't stick the landing, that it's a failed jump. The dude is way bigger than Ricochet, jumped out of the ring and did a friggin' front flip. I would agree on the point that it's weird to just kind of redo the same idea as Ricochet's spot, but it was still great, and I'm certainly not going to take away from the athleticism and concentration it takes to do something like that, because I'm going to watch from my couch and decide that that professional athlete didn't stick the landing. The dude did a front. The dude is a serial killer and did a front flip out of the ring. So, he could kill you and then flip over your body, and then you won't be able to say he didn't stick the landing. Why? Why? Because you're dead. So there's that. So, this is a very good match, and the finish is that Timothy Thatcher has Finn Balor in a knee lock, and then Dexter Lumis does that slide that he does where he's kind of sliding, just using his hands, and he slides behind Timothy Thatcher and stares at him for a second, and then he locks Timothy Thatcher in the silence, the chokehold. So Timothy Thatcher doesn't tap out, but he passes out, which means Dexter Lumis moves on to the ladder match. I love this, because Finn Balor was in the knee lock. Finn Balor did not tap, but he was basically incapacitated. Timothy Thatcher was locked in a submission, but Timothy Thatcher did not tap out. Keeps Finn Balor good, keeps Timothy Thatcher good, because he's a submission specialist. It would be weird for him to tap out this early. And Dexter Lumis, I think the right guy won by choking somebody out, which is a great way to put over that silence kind of chokehold finisher. Excellent work. And the last shot is Finn and Timothy Thatcher in the ring, and then Dexter Lumis just staring at the North American Championship that's on a little table that they've had out there as we go off air. Awesome. So we have Bronson Reed, we have Dexter Lumis, and then next week we'll get Oney Lorcan and Damian Priest, and then Ridge Holland, who's going to be debuting. Feels like if it had been anybody but Ridge Holland debuting, I would have said Damian Priest is definitely going to win. But it feels weird to have Ridge Holland debut and then not win. So feels like it would be, I don't know. What do I know? I don't know. Feels like it'll either be, it's certainly not going to be Oney Lorcan. So I'm gonna say Ridge Holland, and I'm probably going to be wrong. But we'll get another person added, and then we're going to have us a great ladder match for that NXT North American Championship. Tell you that right now. And what we had this week was a great episode of the NXT podcast. Tell you that right now. Boom. Another transition. You didn't even see it coming. That's how you do it. This episode, like I said, wasn't as good as last week, but we have a lot of interesting stories going into TakeOver 30. We're ramping up towards that, and that is interesting in itself. But let me know what you thought about NXT this week. You can find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's ZachNXT over on Twitter. We're always talking about wrestling, talking about life, making fun of people. Anything you want to hear me talk about in the show, you can always suggest on Twitter. I usually get my topic of the day off of Twitter, or get people's opinions, or catch up on things. If you want to see anything added, taken away from the show, again, ZachNXT, ZachNXT on Twitter to check that out. Otherwise, I'm going to see you here, back here, same time, next week, talk about NXT. That means NXT is off the air, which means my time is up. I will see you next week. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic. Thank you so much for listening.